Here we are in the West Bottoms, waiting for a train to go by. It's the classic West Bottoms experience and one of the few things about the neighborhood that isn't changing right now. The American Royal is heading out after 117 years. Meanwhile, artists, antiquers, and craft beer enthusiasts continue moving in, making their mark. The district is also the recipient of a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which will funnel resources into creative visions for the West Bottoms, giving a boost to a transformation that's been slowly chugging along for decades. Now, suddenly, everything's happening so fast. I'm Gina Kaufman. We'll really get into the big American Royal news later in the hour on KCUR's Central Standard, so stay tuned for that. But for now, let's hear about this NEA grant. Megan Krieger, Director of Culture and Creative Services for Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning.
The West Bottoms got one of 64 Our Town grants from the NEA for projects nationwide in something called creative placemaking. What is creative placemaking?
Creative placemaking really was a term that came about two decades ago, recognizing a need for a collaboration and integration of cultural community and economic development leaders, defining place and placekeeping is the more recent term, with arts and culture center to the conversation as place is, as investments come into cities, and as we think about retaining what the natural and distinctive histories of a place, that it's a considerate process where many diverse expertise are engaged in that inevitable change and doing it in a thoughtful way.
For people who haven't been having conversations about all of this, the way that you're using the word place, can you explain it?
Well, place is very distinctive and reflective of the character of a distinctive boundary or neighborhood. So place could be a city. It could be a neighborhood. It could be a corridor. So it's very unique to the people who live there and the people who work there, that it's self-defined, but it includes public and private spaces coming together and cohabitating in one place.
So what is it? We'll get into sort of the controversy around the word place making, but what about the creative piece of it? What makes what is happening in the West Bottoms creative and not just a process?
Do you mean specifically for this grant?
Yes.
Or what's happening naturally and organically?
Both.
Because I think that's what we want to recognize, that as you mentioned, artists and craft beer makers are naturally clustering there because they can afford to live there and do good work inevitably.
And because there are giant spaces.
And there are giant spaces. So a grant like this, let me start by saying that working for the city, ears to the ground, trying to understand what the needs of community are. Historic West Bottoms is a business association that when our office was formed about a year and a half ago, at the call of community for a cultural office in municipality, to say, how can we think about West Bottoms, recognizing the history and the people who are living here, that we retain the artists who have been here for 15 years plus. It was around the time that ArtSpace was here to do a pre-feasibility study. And in thinking about a more comprehensive approach of retention, attraction, it's not a single development for artists that's going to do that. And so this idea of Our Town, which provides funding to the arts to participate in the conversation of growth and development, we thought this was a prime opportunity to bring some dollars to help in that conversation. It's a very competitive grant. As you mentioned, only 64 cities did receive it. And it's a grant that's been going on for about a decade. And interestingly, I do want to point out that NEA is looking at this and understanding the controversy of finding a correlation between creative placemaking and the idea of displacement and gentrification, that we want to separate those issues and we want to identify what the outcomes are, that we're getting intentional outcomes that benefit both a city and the creatives that help to define the place.
And then I guess the question really becomes, can you separate gentrification and displacement from this process. And we will dig into that more, but okay. I want to make sure people get all the information about what is actually happening before we dive too much into it. So let's talk about this. The application for the grant was a joint venture between Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, and several organizations who will be partners on the project. Why did the West Bottoms spring to mind as the ideal place for something like this? I can think of lots of Kansas City neighborhoods you could make a case for.
Right. And this goes back to the invitation of that community. So Historic West Bottoms came to me with this idea. So they then had already been working with Kansas City Design Center. They completed a vision study several years ago. So in a way, I'm facilitating a conversation that is continuing. It's really nothing new. These dollars will now then bring additional artists into now the next phase, which is how can we help with connectivity throughout the West Bottoms? If you're thinking about connectivity, you're talking all of West Bottoms, Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri.
Can you talk about a little bit more why we need what we need dollars for there?
So the dollars will go, one, for Kansas City Design Center to be a project manager, bringing in students from the university to research and investigate public space that will contribute to connectivity throughout West Bottoms. It's also going to fund a lead artist who has experience working in the public realm. And then we're also going to be hiring, commissioning artists to be part of this design team. So in a way, it's skill building and development for artists who are ready to make that transition into the public realm. I believe that this is an opportunity in that skill building that these artists can now be competitive, not only for public art projects here in Kansas City, but also throughout the country and other public art programs.
So can I jump in here? You've talked about a few times connectivity and connectability. Are you talking about connecting existing sort of individual projects and kind of getting them to coalesce, or are you talking about something else?
Connectability, meaning being able to navigate throughout West Bottoms, knowing where you are, corridors that connect and that you can get around in West Bottoms, be able to get to the businesses and to the residents, be able to get in and out. So I want to say that not only is this project looking at possible improvements of public space.
So infrastructure.
Infrastructure. We talk about change that is already occurring. The water department, the city's water department, is investing millions of dollars at EPA mandate for green infrastructure. And then we have the planning department working with the Historic West Bottoms around wayfinding and streetscape improvement. So here is an opportunity where investments are already happening, and this is going to allow us to bring artists to the table to be part of that conversation of how that physical place and infrastructure gets transformed.
So when you talk about green infrastructure projects, for example, are those already kind of being envisioned in some detail, or is that a still in the we're dreaming big here stage? Anything still on the table?
No, we've been meeting with the water department, and it is underway. The conceptual design, working with the community there, is completed. And so they'll be entering into design phase. So that's the prime opportunity to bring in artists to be part of that conversation. And it's looking at revealing, as Jim Woodville is on the team, and I love to hear him talk about.
He's a kinetic sculptor.
Yes. So thinking about, we're building infrastructure, let's recognize and appreciate the beauty of that infrastructure. And so having artists come and talk about the interpretation or making it more aesthetic, that's the contribution that we'd like to see.
So another part of this announcement is that, and I'm quoting here, that conceptual and programmatic scenarios for the deployment of arts will be part of this. Those are a lot of jargony terms. What exactly does that mean? Conceptual and programmatic scenarios for the deployment of arts. I don't think of the arts as being deployed usually.
No, and I think it's about once you build infrastructure, what does that look like on an ongoing basis? So are we building places where arts can happen organically or through a programmatic way, either managed by Historic West Bottoms or Artist Collective or Business Collective, that we're coming together in a space that's been designed and then bringing community together through the arts.
The use of that term deployment does interest me, because you think of like troops being deployed, that there's a mission and they're going to accomplish it. And in that sense, what is the mission that you hope the artists themselves will be accomplishing once they're deployed?
Well, and this was a group writing endeavor, so I wasn't the sole author of that. And the word deploy, I think, is...
But it is so interesting, yeah, because it's so mission-oriented. And
well,
it's so deliberate.
Yeah. I'm going to stay away from the word deploy, because that is kind of throwing me. You know, the mission is really recognizing the artists that are there, utilizing their talents. And I say that in a way that means bringing dollars to them to pay for their professional expertise. So much of, I think, the perception and conflict of creative placemaking and displacement is we're not really addressing the issue of who is there and honoring the people who are there. So it's about investment in that community while and mitigating future development, knowing that change is inevitable. So it's really just investing in them, both in a capacity building way, but and in a programmatic way, that they have the freedom and the ability to live in a place that they feel they own and belong.
You came here from Austin, Texas, right?
Yes.
So that's a place with an identity and economy that's really changed since the growth of South by Southwest, a music and now technology festival that's become synonymous with Austin, in fact, for a lot of people. Is there a model in that for what's happening in the West Bottoms now?
The only model that I would attribute to Austin is that what happened in Austin was organic. And again, coming from the city, our role is to support what is organically happening. In that case, and so here's the story, a little bit of it. Big tech city, big tech boom in 08, 09. A lot of people were out of jobs and started their own business, primarily food trucks or sort of individual craft. And so there was a lot of emphasis now in resources to help these small businesses. And that became a huge focus for the city. It's not about creating or dictating what those business opportunities are. It's seeing what's organically happening and the city's role in figuring out how to help it be sustainable.
Well, along those lines, I mean, if Austin can model for us how to figure those things out, perhaps, is there also a cautionary tale there? I mean, most people probably agree that South by Southwest is a success and an asset in many ways for Austin, but nothing comes without a cost. Are there people in Austin who feel maybe they've lost something in the process, even possibly the very people who were most involved in the music festival in its smaller, earlier days, like the "I went there before it got big" people?
I love that question. Yes, there is a cautionary tale. And this is, I believe, the role of the city, where we can make a change in this transformation of a place or a city. The need for infrastructure, meaning traffic and roads and affordable living. So mixed income neighborhoods are healthy neighborhoods. So and in fact, in Austin, they did pass a $10 million bond just for affordable living. So they're providing incentives to developers to provide a certain percentage of affordable housing that I think helped. That did help. But there are a lot of unmet needs that happen. A lot of creatives losing their space because the market rate went up so high. So they're sort of in crisis mode. And I think the benefit here in Kansas City is we recognize that. We can talk about it now. We do have some time to build in some policy issues that can help anchor affordability, not just for artists and creatives, but for citizens and residents.
Right, because if rent has historically been low, then in theory, the people who are already there, whether they're artists or not, have been benefiting from that.
Yes.
Does news that the American Royal is leaving feel like an opportunity for some of what you and your partners envision for the Bottoms, or a loss? Or is it just too soon for you to even think about that?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a comment on that. I know it's probably based on a business decision of theirs, and certainly it's the history of their presence in West Bottoms is significant. What the future looks like for them, I wish the best, and certainly for the West Bottoms and its transition will play a part in what it looks like in the future.
When we talk about change in that district, I mean, it seems impossible to ignore this as not only a change in and of itself, but maybe in part signaling that so much has already changed.
Right.
Can you talk about that just a little?
Well, I'm not quite sure what you mean. I think, yeah, I've been here a year and a half. So, and I was sharing with Carr earlier that I fell in love with West Bottoms. I was one of the few who kept getting lost. I would find myself in the West Bottoms. It wasn't hard for me to find my apartment is fully furnished with the West Bottoms. It's a magical place. And I know change has been happening. Investments and interest in attracting families into the West Bottoms is a focus. I've seen the last year and a half, and it's been positive because the business owners have been engaged in the conversation of that change.
I'm Gina Kaufman. When KCOR's Central Standard returns, we'll bring some other voices in on this conversation. When artists move into neighborhoods like the West Bottoms, how can they respect its existing identity? And then when cities and big organizations get involved, do they support what's already happened and give it a much-needed boost? Or do they change the character of those efforts entirely? That conversation continues after this break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Gina Kaufman, and today we're talking about change in Kansas City's West Bottoms. Right now, we're looking at that change from an artistic standpoint. We'll talk more about how the departure of the American Royal after 117 years fits in later on. We've been chatting with Megan Krieger, Kansas City's Director of Culture and Creative Services, about a creative placemaking grant for the West Bottoms from the National Endowment for the Arts. Hi again, Megan.
Hi.
And now I want to bring in some other guests. We've got Kara Hess here. She's a graphic designer who's been located in the West Bottoms for a while, and she's been watching and experiencing the change all around her. Hi, Kara.
Hello. Good morning.
Julia Cole is with us, too. She's written a lot about creative placemaking as a concept, and she joins us from the Charlotte Street Foundation. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So, Julia, you have some concerns about creative placemaking as a phrase, but maybe as more than just a phrase.
Sure. I think language is incredibly important, as we just discovered in the first segment, in that it conveys our overall thinking about the way that we see relationships with each other, the way we see our city developing. And I'm a big advocate for really taking our time and choosing words carefully and sometimes abandoning terms and moving on. And I think creative placemaking, there's been a lot of resistance to it because of the idea that you are intervening to make a place happen and implying that there was nothing there already. And as we know, our neighborhoods, even neighborhoods that have been chronically underserved, have rich cultural histories, people with lots of interesting ideas. And I think there's been a sense that the process has been one that has been an implied imposition onto that rather than sourcing the assets that already exist.
So the concern being that artists, kind of in almost like a colonial way, might not recognize who was already there, what was already there.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think artists tend to can be insensitive to the communities that they enter, either through just being thoughtlessly part of a system or through not having training or not having had conversations that really make them aware.
Or just being so excited about their own vision.
Yeah, I think that's true. But I think even in excitement, you know, if you're really thinking about the context, which is the place becomes like the canvas that you're working on, an artist is going to think about every aspect of what they're doing, and place becomes incredibly important. So the people are part of a place. A community is both a place and a set of relationships.
So in the case of the West Bottoms, what are some of the things that were already in the neighborhood before artists got inspired by the architecture, by low rent? What were some of the things that you think you know, there's a danger of ignoring or leaving out of the conversation?
Well, I think to a certain extent, the West Bottoms is a little different in many ways from the kind of placemaking projects that happen in residential neighborhoods, because a lot of the kind of historic structure, the community structures, got washed away through the flood.
Very literally, yeah.
Right, through the flood, and then the fact that the stockyards were a sort of very flat landscape. So the history of immigrant communities has long been gone from the West Bottoms. And so the artists themselves who've moved in have been part of developing a new kind of cultural space, which is a space, and the word organic's been used a couple of times already this morning. And I think there's that idea that there's a process of development that is slower, that really is, it builds from one thing to another instead of being this grand design.
So now the term people are preferring these days is creative placekeeping. But, I mean, it could... That can sound a little like an Orwellian kind of shift. You know what I mean? Like we're just going to change this term to be more like what people say it should be. I mean, what behavior kind of accompanies that shift in terminology?
Well, I'm not a super fan of that term either. I think it was instituted to make a point that an alternative to the word placemaking was place-taking. And so placekeeping became this sort of balancing out of the idea of what's happening in that process of development. So I think rather than having a single term that is an umbrella term, it's more useful to think in each circumstance, what's going on? Are we looking at arts-related development here? Are we looking at cultural development? Are we looking at, what are we looking at in each set of circumstances? And I think we just find it easy to have these umbrella terms. I think city governments buy into that and developers buy into that. And it facilitates a conversation, but I think it also shortcuts a lot of thinking.
Why is city government and development, why is buy-in from city government and developers important? Because on the flip side of what we were just talking about, I know that a lot of artists, especially artists who have invested blood, sweat, and tears in a particular place, can be concerned that the intervention of city and development can mean their own kind of displacement.
Well, sure, but the process of development is happening. I mean, it's unstoppable at this point. So the question is, how does it happen? And I think that's the point at which the engagement of artists, I mean, the role of artists has been thought of traditionally as embellishers, especially in public spaces. And that's a very kind of superficial engagement. And it has led to artists being used a lot as kind of the tools of developers. And so I think what we're shifting to here in this discussion is how do artists participate in the process differently as people who think differently, as people who see opportunities in a different way and who are interested in making small resources go a long way rather than just pouring money onto something in a way that may erase an underlying infrastructure or history.
Do you think that there are any red flags along those lines in what we've heard about plans for the West Bottoms with this grant from the NEA?
I think my biggest concern is that what happens in the West Bottoms would become a blueprint for development elsewhere in the city.
Why would that be a problem? It all sounds pretty exciting.
Well, it's just that things can happen really quickly. And, you know, when money is applied to a solution, often the results are just very rapid and there's no time for this dialogue that happens before the process begins, but then often that needs to slow down and have conversations that happen throughout so that directions can change, and usually a development plan is one that is deployed. You know, it's a plan that's designed and then it's put in place and it's kind of unstoppable. So I think, and the West Bottoms it's more of an entertainment space in Kansas City already. There are businesses who are working there. There are artists who have studios, but think of all the big festivals we have there already, and the sense that it's already kind of that public space that is ripe for that kind of development.
Well, let's hear from Kara Hess. She, as I've mentioned, is a graphic designer who works in the West Bottoms. She's got a firm called Daisium Design. And Kara, what have you been actually observing already in the West Bottoms? I mean, how would you describe what you've already witnessed happening there?
I've been there about 15 years. And it was when I first moved down there, it was your place. There was a lot of freedom to build and grow and do what you wanted to do. Not a lot of traffic. Just trains. Yeah. So over the years, it's really built up with resources. A lot of small businesses moved in. A lot of new artists. The antique shops are about two and a half years old. So it's been great to see the development, and I think it really supports the city, and I think it has a lot of vision and future for what it can be.
Well, I'd love to hear from our listeners. You know, if you have thoughts about all of this, especially if you are an artist or someone who has been affected by the presence of artists in the West Bottoms, call at 816-235-2888 to weigh in on the conversation you're hearing. Kara, as you listen to people discuss kind of the theory behind what may or may not happen in the West Bottoms, issues like displacement, meaning that people who maybe have already been in the neighborhood for a while or maybe an existing identity of the neighborhood could be pushed out by the new, rather than sit alongside it. What are your thoughts about that?
Oh, gosh. I think we've all said here it is an inevitable change, and I think we just need to look at change as a good thing. And this grant gives you the possibility to say, what have we seen other places around Kansas City? What have we seen them doing? What have we learned from that? And here's a grant to say, well, let's really think this through, and let's bring people to the table that are diverse. You know, let's bring artists and developers, and let's make sure we have what it takes to support small business and small local business. And that's everything. You know, that's office space and, you know, nightlife and, you know, and all the and walking traffic and signage, and it can encompass so much. And I think when you have all these people with different ideas and you know, and it does move in a little slower pace, as she had mentioned. It doesn't quite get a total mission, but the mission becomes what everybody is needing and what everybody sees as what will benefit Kansas City and the West Bottoms.
What are some of the challenges when you think about just the day-to-day reality as someone who works in this neighborhood? Are there challenges to being in the West Bottoms that maybe people aren't recognizing, that maybe people should be discussing? Are there things that, yeah, like just day to day, as someone who isn't just swooping in and observing or just swooping in and buying some antiques, but someone who's there every single day?
Challenges. I guess I say no. It's a very central location. From getting in and out, I guess that'd be one question to ask and answer. It's very diverse. So no, I guess I say I come. It's not a challenge. It's, there's different districts that have built up around that area. So
explain that.
Well, my business is south of 12th Street, so and it's been marketed as the Stockyards District, and there's a lot of office space, and it is very different from what's north of 12th Street, which is typically the more of the antique stores now, and what historically was haunted houses, and even historically more manufacturing. So, and I think when you get to know an area, you see all the benefits and what it can be, and I think when people come, they can share their own vision and what they see and what they can experience down here.
So it seems like the infrastructure piece of it, from what I'm hearing Cara saying, that Megan Krieger, that the infrastructure aspect of the future plans might really affect someone like Cara, who's talking about the central location and getting in and out of the neighborhood as part of what matters to her in the day-to-day.
So the West Bottoms applied and has received for a number of years PIAC funds because they recognize a need for better paved streets, signage to help people get around. So that is an effort that was brought forward by the community, with the city having the funding to help prepare that infrastructure piece. The flooding, so that is now being addressed again through an EPA mandate around water management and the green infrastructure. So these are infrastructure improvements that are desired by the neighborhood. Of course, it will help with livability of the West Bottoms and inevitably will become attractive for investors. This grant really is giving time and space for everyone to think about the future growth.
We're getting a lot of tweets from someone named Matt, and I'm about to get to our callers, but Matt brings up something that is so central, I think, to the question that we've been maybe dancing around a little bit. He asks, who does this work benefit? He goes on to share a quote from someone in Houston who said, "I got wrong that the creative class could magically restore our cities. I could not have anticipated among the urban growth and revival, there's a dark side to urban creative revolution, a very deep dark side." He goes on, Matt does, to tweet that his fear is that the NEA money is leveraged by developers and not for real community benefit. How would you address that, Megan?
Well, this is conversation not just with creatives, but bringing creatives into a conversation with urban planners, with architects and designers. So it's adding another voice and perspective to the growth of a place. Who it benefits are the people who live there, work there, who want to, in the future, live and work there. As it relates to city benefit, I'll say that part of another layer of this grant is the conversation that we're having here today, thinking about economic development strategies and tools, much like PIAC has, or PIEA and Crossroads has done for the past 10 years. What are some other strategies and tools that we can look at on a national level? We're having conversation with Policy Link and National LISC. We were one of seven cities selected because of the Our Town grant that will work together as a collaborative network to ensure that the outcomes benefit the creatives and the city and the people who live there.
Julia, what do you hear in Matt's question? I mean, does this echo any of your concerns? How do you think this pertains to the West Bottoms?
I think for the West Bottoms, one of the biggest issues is going to be maintaining a diverse space. And I understand that there are lots of different things going on there right now, but you know, how many antique shops can you have, and how many wine bars, and how many, there's a sense right now there are things going on down there, like, you know, the motorcyclists that come down on Sundays, there's the gypsy market, there's the you know, the car shows that happen, there's a sort of variety of populations that use the space in kind of very different ways. And I know that as residential development proceeds, there's often a sense of not wanting those rowdier components to be around for obvious reasons. So how is it that there's a protection of the kinds of diversities that happen when public space is truly public space and it hasn't become privatized? And I think that's, and then the other thing that concerns me a lot is, you know, if what will happen with the revenues that come from this development, I hope they will be redeployed to neighborhoods that have very real issues with their infrastructure, with their storm drains and their sidewalks and not having schools or groceries or libraries or anything like that.
Megan, do you know the answer to that question, where those development dollars will go?
I do not. No, not speak for them.
Let's talk to Al downtown. Hi, Al.
Good morning.
Welcome to the show.
This is a good discussion. Well, Matt really hit it on the head, the tweeter, but my question is this, and it's been thrown around a lot in this discussion, and you know, and I think it's great. The great contribution to the Crossroads, of course, has been a number of things, including the Kauffman Center of the Performing Arts, which Jane Chu really made happen, developed, and she was amazing, and now she's the head of the National Endowment for the Arts. But my question is, since when did art become an industry, and in that way justify any kind of additional money coming from public sources? I don't get it. I don't understand why art has suddenly become an industry. I mean, Hallmark was selling greeting cards, so they were selling a product. It was not art. It was a product.
Well,
and
you know,
I think this discussion is centering around something that is this invented industry.
Well, let's talk about this.
I want to ask that question.
Let's talk about the arts as an industry, because Al sees this from one perspective, which is if it's not an industry, then in his mind it wouldn't merit public investment. You could also see it from another perspective, which is when you talk about the arts and artists in terms of them being creatives, which is a term that is, it does make it sound a little more like an industry to me, like these are people with a category of role, kind of. And when you talk about deploying the arts, that's a very sort of, could be seen as like a cog in a wheel kind of thing. There are really different ways of seeing how arts being treated as an industry fits into the questions we're asking today. But I am curious about whether you guys in this room see the arts as an industry or as something else.
I'll jump in here. I wouldn't call it an industry. I'd call it a community. And I think it's a community that has vision, and it can come together with that vision. In other words, they jump out. And I've seen them jump out and build in an area that I don't think a lot of other communities do. And so, I don't consider it an industry, but I think it's a formidable voice that has a little more emphasis than say you know another type of community that might come together, because I think they have vision, and I think
artists build things.
Yeah, and nationwide we've seen it time and time again. Where are the artists going, and what happens with that? I mean, you know, they're diverse in themselves, but then what can they bring collaboratively? And I think with that voice, it's someone to listen to, and it's a good grant to consider.
So it sounds like you're expressing that money goes to support not artists, not art, but rather what artists are doing.
Well, collaboratively, what their vision is too. And again, I think they're a community that brings in a lot of different kinds of people. As she mentioned, it appeals to so many people. You've got, you know, the artists on one side and the families on, you know, another, and everybody can identify with it. And so it's not only just a community of people working, but a community of what the people that they attract and bring.
Julia, what do you hear in this?
Well, I think one of the biggest mistakes we make in thinking about the arts is to have this monolithic vision of what it is and what it does and who's involved. And the arts are a spectrum of activities of people doing very different things. So on one part of that spectrum, we have what are now called the creative industries, where people design and package and persuasively sell material goods. And then on the other end, you have artists who have no interest in participating in an economic system at all. They're interested in alternative ways of thinking, alternative ways of making. And I think, it's interesting that I think there were really two questions there, because, you know, whether the arts is an industry or not, I think is a moot point. But then there's a question of whether that industry, I don't think the industrial end needs our support, because it's kind of generating its own thing. It's kind of tapping into and working alongside a system that is about generating money. I think it's the other end of the spectrum that actually needs more public support, where we see
those artists who are not operating in an industrial kind of model.
Right. And you might think of them as the philosophers of our time. They're thinking about alternative ways of thinking and ideas, and how do we create spaces for people who aren't doing things that generate a lot of money but have great value to our cities and our culture? How do we support that?
Let's talk really, really quickly with Jim in Kansas City's Northeast. Jim, we just have a moment, but I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Oh, okay. Well, you guys have made a lot of interesting points, but I guess right now the one that sticks out is the fact that the Crossroads, which originally was kind of an artist area because of a cheap space, and now it's like it is a new development, and it's because the artists were there and they made it interesting and it became its own area. And so then now the same thing, I guess, is going to happen in the West Bottoms. And I think that this grant is just basically going to make it easier for developers to move in and capitalize on a really nice area that, as the word was used earlier, organically evolves, and then it's going to be, it's going to be capitalized on by developers.
Let's hear what Megan Krieger has to say about this. I mean, what would you say to someone like Jim about his concerns?
Well, I would say making improvements in an area is going to be attractive to anyone. If they're a developer coming in, their motivation is probably around profit. It could be attractive to others who are looking to build community. So I wouldn't say that it's targeting only one aspect that might have a negative implication. I think how that collective conversation, and again, this grant giving the time and space to vision what the future of West Bottoms looks like and who is participating in that conversation. I want to stress that while the physical improvements are certainly part of this grant, it's the kind of public discourse around change of place and anchoring again affordability, looking at future possible economic development strategies and tools that support affordability for those who want to be there.
I want to get really specific. We've got to go, but I want to ask you, you know, you mentioned earlier that Austin, one of the things that happened with South by Southwest is that there were some measures put in place to make sure that there were spaces that were still affordable, for example. Is there talk of anything like that in the West Bottoms?
Well, let me correct that by saying really there was not much that happened to ensure that those theater spaces were preserved and the music venues were preserved. They're actually leaving the city. I think we're in a position now to have this conversation and look ahead so that we put measures in place that don't allow that to happen here.
Megan Krieger with us from Kansas City, Missouri, where you are the Director of Culture and Creative Services. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julia Cole of the Rocket Grants Program with the Charlotte Street Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Cara Hess of Daisium Design Solutions. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
It was fun. Thank you.
When we get back, how the American Royals' departure from the West Bottoms is going to be affecting that neighborhood as well. I'm Gina Kaufman. Back in a moment. Welcome back to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we've been talking about change in the West Bottoms from an artistic change kind of standpoint. There is a lot of change, though, in that neighborhood, and the big news of the last 24 hours has been around the American Royal announcing its departure from the neighborhood after 117 years. Safe to say most of us would consider that a pretty long time. And here to talk about that is Steve Vakrot, a reporter with the Kansas City Star. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
So what, you know, we just have a little time, and what, from a nuts and bolts standpoint, do people need to know about this, the sort of quick and dirty?
Well, it's not totally a done deal, but the announcement is that they want the American Royal, Kansas wants the American Royal to build a $160 million complex over in KCK. This would be over by the Village West area, where there's been a lot of development in the western edge of Wyandotte County. And the American Royal would occupy a portion of this big star bond district. And the term star bonds gets used a lot, particularly in the context of western Wyandotte County, because it's a tool that uses where a development can use the sales tax generated that it generates to pay for certain eligible development costs. And in this case, the state is willing to authorize, the state being Kansas, is willing to authorize up to $80 million in these bonds to cover about half of what the cost would be. And then there's going to be a private fundraising drive to pay for the rest.
It sounds like part of the interest on the part of the American Royal has to do with wide open spaces and also the sort of agricultural identity of the area around the Speedway. It's interesting to me in terms of what we've been talking about, because the historic identity of the West Bottoms had so much to do with livestock and agriculture, and now we're seeing this shift.
Right. Yeah. So the American Royal has always been, since 1899, they've always been in the West Bottoms. And the West Bottoms was, at a point in time was sort of the agricultural center of the city. And, you know, the economy and the city have changed a lot. And from the American Royal's perspective, they felt like they couldn't really use the facilities. They felt like they were out of space in the West Bottoms. And they tried for a while to make a deal with Kansas City, Missouri to, you know, the deal would have involved knocking down Kemper Arena, building a smaller special purpose arena that would have been bigger than the Hale Arena, smaller than Kemper. But the deal required a lot of public subsidy, and Kansas City leaders, you know, particularly due to the fact that it would have required a lot of money, and there was another proposal that would have commanded less public subsidy, the Fouch brothers' plan to turn Kemper Arena into kind of a recreational sports facility. A deal just never came together, and they made it clear a couple years ago that they were looking at Wyandotte County, and this Sam Brownback, the governor of Kansas, didn't make it a secret either earlier this year. It became sort of a little bit of a political fight in Topeka over the use of star bonds for this project. But it was, yesterday's announcement wasn't a shocker, but there's still a little bit of that jolt with the idea that the American Royal likely won't be in the West Bottoms for very much longer.
This equation that's kind of simmering just below the surface in a lot of what you're saying, the sort of private development plus public subsidy equals, on some level, character and identity of neighborhood. Can you talk about that?
Right. So, I mean, in the context of the West Bottoms, you've got this big American Royal complex. It's a big complex. Even if the American Royal feels like it doesn't suit their needs anymore, it takes up a lot of space. And, you know, when you look at the West Bottoms and you think about development in the West Bottoms, you know, I think city leaders on the Missouri side of the state line think that, you know, there's potential here to do some redevelopment and, you know, maybe get rid of the Royal complex once they move and do something a bit more urban, something that feels more urban, this sort of this livestock agricultural center that's more associated with things that go on in the plains, far away from the lights and the tall buildings of the city. And when you talk about the Village West neighborhood, if you will, you still have the tall buildings and the lights. You got the soccer stadium, you got the Cerner buildings, and, you know, all kinds of development that's happened since the Kansas Speedway went there. But I think there's this feeling like, you know, that side of the metro is more in keeping with this, you know, agricultural livestock sense, you know, and there's this animal health corridor that they've talked about in Kansas City that stretches from Manhattan and arguably over to Columbia and Missouri, that they think the American Royal can be sort of a big part of that.
When you think about the character of the West Bottoms, just as a Kansas City and not as the development reporter that you are, will you miss an agricultural presence there if the last vestige of that, the American Royal, if that leaves?
Not necessarily, because there's another place that I'll be able to go to see it if I want. And I'm frankly pretty excited to see what could happen in the West Bottoms going forward.
So you're not one for sentimentality in that respect?
in a small sense, but, you know, change happens and things, you know, progress marches forward.
Change happens. Well, Steve Vakrot with us from the Kansas City Star. It's been great talking to you, and I'm sure we'll be catching up with you some more soon.
Thanks for having me.
This conversation about the West Bottoms will be available online at kcur.org/centralstandard later today. Our show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, and Andrea Tudhope. We get lots of help from interns Raven Brooks and Aaron Pelish. I'm Gina Kaufman, and if you want to keep talking to us about this and any other infrastructure issues in Kansas City, you can do that by Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and we use the hashtag IfYouBuildItKC for conversations like this. Up to date is next. Don't miss it.